KPOO San Francisco, 89.5 FM. You're inside the Veggie Lounge with Melanie and Malora Green. And I'm sure you can hear the grin on my face. Two loved ones live in the studio. Nika Sherelle, no stranger the Ibeji Lounge, returning with the brilliant It Cast conversations, and I'm so excited that it's going to be a regular thing and we keep going here. And you have a special guest with you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having us here again. Yes. The guest that I have tonight with me is Somalia Rabi. She is the owner and organizer of the Pedestal Festival, Oakland Music Women's Music Festival, coming in a couple of weeks to the East Bay. We are glad to have her. She helped construct a lot of the conversation we're going to have tonight. And say hello.
Hey, everybody.
What's up? What's up?
How's it going? You're like, what do I say beyond that?
It's a great opener.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you. This is beautiful. Appreciate this is love. You. Thank you.
I know you're going to carry the dialogue, but I would love to hear about the Pedestal Fest and what people can expect from that festival.
Yeah, so initially it was actually titled The Word We Can't Say.
Got it. Got it.
Festival.
That is the P.
P-U-S-S-Y.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The way we got here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was and is what it's all about.
Got it.
We all got here through that vessel, so we are just honoring it. Raising it up, specifically with a twist to feature black women performers, brown women performers, and those who just otherwise are unseen, not considered, or maybe a little bit further down the lineup. But yeah, that's what it's all about. So it's going to be in Oakland next Saturday, August 24th. It'll be a venue crawl, so you can get one pass and peruse around and hang out, check out lovely people, support local businesses, and take in some amazing talent.
Wonderful. I'll let you take it from here, but I was like, I got to know right now.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a brilliant segue, because speaking of the word that shall not be known,
you know, P-U-S-S-Y.
That is part of how we got here today. So the topic for this mini-series is Culture Shock, the It Cast first live mini-series on KPOO San Francisco. We are very grateful to be in the Ibeji Lounge. And during this series, we're going to look at how cultural differences affect us when it comes to love, sex, and relationships. In this episode specifically, we are going... In this episode specifically, we're going to look at cultural aspects that can have an impact on how we love and how we date. So we're going to have some questions for the group, and if anybody out there listening wants to shoot us some messages for topics they want to hear, we're going to do this conversation once a month, second Tuesday, so you can catch us in September and October, and each conversation is going to get a little bit hotter, so please come join us as we turn up the volume in the next coming months.
Yes, and I'm going to go live on my Instagram, so the folks who generally tune in, you can shoot your questions there. I'm going to go live on Instagram. The Wonder Twin. Go right ahead.
Yes. Okay. So so for the group, the first question that I have for us this evening is, what are some of the cultural differences that can be divisive in relationships? And I'd love to just discuss what comes up for y'all, what crosses the mind.
Wait, what's the what?
What can be divisive culturally in your relationships when you date?
Well,
culturally, do you mean specifically how black people can be, how, you know, is this based on stereotypes, or where are we going with this? I want to make sure that I don't put my foot put these Oxfords in my mouth.
You know, you can go as deep as you want to go. Mm. But yeah, you know, I definitely think the stereotypes play a big part in the way that we see ourselves culturally and the way that we see our partners culturally. The one that comes to mind for me in one of my most recent relationships is age and age difference. You know, she's a little over a decade older than I am. Mm-hmm. And it was different, you know, like we grew up in different eras. Mm-hmm. And even though we're both strong black queer women, sometimes we didn't speak the same language. And like we just couldn't. So just kind of looking at these cultural clashes, I mean, they can come from anywhere, but definitely want to talk about those things. So
I think sometimes even just like what we have as expectations, I think sometimes how we grow up, the things that we're told are the norms, you know, that become the culture. Oh, you don't say this, or you do say that, or you must behave this way. Mm-hmm. If you don't do X, Y, and Z, you don't love me, or you're being disrespectful. And I think sometimes it could be regional, you know, coming from the South, there are different cultural things that I was, you know, used to. And so I think it's just a matter of how deep you want to interpret those things. And how much you want to allow them to weigh. So I think some of the cultural behaviors have been more of the things that have had an impact, because those are like the everyday. Are you getting that door? Did you say thank you? Did you, you know what I mean? Just different things that that kind of get bigger over time.
I'll add to that too.
You know,
as it relates to black people and black women, I will say two things. We're not seen as free spirits who like to play, you know, and delve in fantasy worlds. And then also, maybe it's generational too, but the notion and idea of being like poly is almost unheard of. And if it is, it's just that you're greedy or freaky or...
It doesn't mean you're greedy or freaky. Oh, I just wanted to ask
you. You're so lucky we're on the air. That's why I did it. I mean, like,
tune in for the raw talk for some deeper details on that.
That was a perfect segue. Anyway, play and poly is what I was going to say. People don't think that that's our thing. And if it is, it's this, you know, way of fetishizing without consideration that, you know, no, we're like human beings. We like to have our own world. I'll wear a onesie. You know what I mean? Kind of like we're not seen as people who can do that.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Thank you. I want to say you segued perfectly into, like, I mean, we're going to bounce around here because that was the question. One of the questions on the list is, what does it mean to be a person of color in a kink space? And what does that look like to interact, especially this day and age, with so much casual dating and living in the Bay Area? Like, we have a bubble. You alluded to it, like being in the South, it's a whole different world.
Come on, honey.
Being in the East, it's a whole different world. I mean, you just go to Sacramento and you're not in the Bay Area.
No, you're not.
So we've got flavors and experiences here that are unique to ourselves. And just to kind of look at and explore that a little bit, like, I didn't know I was a freak. Like, I didn't know some things about myself until I began to explore and find my people in my community. So I'm definitely curious to know more. And it is very ostracizing to be.
And freak as an empowering context.
Yes.
I just want to add that.
Thank you. And I don't see it any other way, personally.
Indeed.
But yeah, that's definitely one of the things that, like, you know, it's about self-discovery and it's about willingness. And those spaces can be intimidating as a person of color when, you know, your body is exoticized and people look at it a certain way and like want to be dominated or owned by you, but they don't see you still as a human who is just there to have an experience.
Yes, right.
And so I was just thinking earlier, just in the general topic, I feel what a lot of what we hold on to our comforts, right? So if you are someone who identifies heavily, for example, with whatever particular culture I guess we could be discussing, right? So there are certain things within that, and so you are comfortable in that space and that frame of mind and that ideology and all of that, right? And so you encounter someone who, let's say you have a very intense physical chemistry. You have a chemistry. You have a chemistry with this person, but meanwhile, their identity is, you know, elsewhere. And so, you know, how do you manage that situation? You know, I could speak from personal experience that, yeah, sometimes it doesn't work out.
Wait, you start looking off at the distance like, oh,
yeah. It doesn't work out.
Sometimes it doesn't work out. But that could have been, it wasn't going to work out anyway. You know, so I think that potential, when that love is there, the deep love is there, you know, I think people are really kind of willing to move mountains or to, you know, to do whatever they need to meet their partner at that level. But, you know, also things are really interesting. And
yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Our world right now. And, you know, it's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, it feels sort of like a choose side sort of
vibe. Yeah, you can find out a lot about people, too, right now.
Yeah.
That will surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
Even people who you like, this is against you. Why do you side with this? You know,
anyway. But is it?
Yeah,
that's true. You know,
I do feel like, from a political standpoint, our country is designed to be polarizing. Mm-hmm. You know, like we set up all of our values on this us versus them mentality, and the more divides that we can put into any given context, the more justified and right we are about some of the harm that's caused in the world. And it doesn't get any different when we get to a more personal and intimate level. I mean, it comes up in every relationship that I can see that I have. And it's, you know, I don't see that it's any different on a macro scale. It's the culture, it's the society that we're brought up in.
So, question.
Okay. You know?
I agree that we are really experiencing the polarities right now. How does this actually impact? So, in other words, you said, all right, you had some difficulties in your relationship. There was an age gap, you know. There may be some differences from an actual ethnicity or, you know, racial standpoint. Are we still willing to go there? Are we willing to go there? And what does that look like?
In this conversation?
No, I mean.
What?
Right.
My bad.
Yeah. In this conversation, in life.
And when you say go there, you mean the pursuit of something, even though there's an inclination that there could be a difference?
Well, knowing there's a difference, right? Knowing there's a difference. But, for example, you know, would you date someone who is not black?
Absolutely. Right, I mean, right now? Oh, right now.
Well, I mean, you know, it had to be right now. No, it had to be right now.
I think that's a great question. I think that there are a lot of misconceptions about interracial dating and what that looks like and the experience of it. And I, as an African-American woman who has discovered that I am queer, I did not date African-American men until I was well into my 20s, and I didn't date African-American women until I was in my 30s. And prior to then, I dated all types of people. It was this great, you know, like self-discovery, understanding, really getting to know myself through this perspective that was beyond anything that was already available to me.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of that, though, there were these moments where I'm like, ooh, like I feel a little like I don't know if I can approach this attractive person mm-hmm. of another cultural background. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if they really are going to accept me for me. Am mm-hmm. I accepting them for them? Like... Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of relationships end for superficial reasons when we're afraid to really talk these things through.
That's real mm. talk. I've been all over the globe.
Yeah.
Just want to put that out there.
I mean, I will say, though, like, if we're just going to, like, talk about some of the things that probably don't really get discussed, like, you know, I have to acknowledge that some of the ways that I've been loved or shown love or had a perspective on my beauty that was not the weird sort of I want to capture you way, but it's really like an acknowledgement, were from people who were not Black. Mm. And mm. they had a huge impact on my growth in how I even presented myself. Mm. I think just from being able to have certain conversations, I think some of our vulnerabilities met somewhere, and I think that that is the part where we get to leave some of the racial stuff behind.
Mm-hmm.
As pro-Black, Black, and all for my people as I am, I'm also very open. I have not found my way to loving someone who is considered Caucasian, but I have been able to love in other places, and it has, I have to just say that those have been some of the most positive love experiences I've had, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to shout them out.
Yeah.
Who you are, who you been.
Yes.
But if I could ride out with a sister, it'd be great.
Look, my lord, you all knew.
Preferences.
Yes.
Give me a quarter.
I will say one of the best experiences I had in like learning to love my natural hair came outside of the Black experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like within the Black experience, it was all about change it, tame it, break it down, like all mm-hmm. these different things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, around people who were not Black, they didn't know what to expect. So they're like, it's so cute. And I'm like, really?
No, that's so real. It's like we have the same fears in our community, mm-hmm. and other communities have this liberation in their language and in their yes. communication about the beauty that is there.
Yes.
When you're teetering on that bridge of like, mm-hmm. do I just cut this hair off? What do I, you know what I mean?
Yes. I love that you said liberation.
Yeah.
Because like, that's what I experience when I go into other places and communities. It's like there's a liberation that is not universal,
mm-hmm.
particularly when it comes to sexuality and sexual identity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this needs to grow.
Yeah.
This so needs to grow.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Y'all talked about poly earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The next episode we are looking at is going to be discussing polyamory, polygamy, and religion. So I'm very excited about
Man,
that.
You threw religion in there.
Yes.
Not right now.
You want to talk about like some thoughts I had? I'm like, oh, okay. Wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
I have some misconceptions, and I need to break down my own beliefs. So,
honey, first of all, a lot of people are in poly relationships and don't even know it.
Amen.
And that's off of control, off of either one partner who's not willing to be honest, but poly relationships have been happening for so long. I sure wish people would just be open to it, because let's be honest, guys. Let's just be honest.
Yes. Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yes. I mean, it's better. Honesty is better, because I feel like, you know, if it's not honest, then it's cheating, and like, it's not like it doesn't happen.
You took the word right out of the big C.
Well,
not that one, but the other one.
Just to say this as a nod to polyamory or any open dynamic, you have to be on your S to survive those relationships. You have to be a high level communicator or it will blow up in your face.
Yeah, yep. I'm not.
So like, yes. You really just a high five and an amen to people who really mm-hmm. do. Step powerfully into polydynamics.
You have to.
who are really honest. I just think it's one of the most honest experiences. Not that I'm in that space right now, but having been there and not really being a person who can just like let it ride and just not acknowledge it, it's like, yo, you got to be on your stuff.
No, you really do. And that's the power. Straight up. Yeah. That is the power of it. And I think most relationships lack that level of honesty anyway, whether or not you're in a polydynamic or not. You know what I mean? Wait, that's a double neck. Anyway, I don't know. I wish people would just be willing to say the tough stuff, even if you got to sit somebody down and talk around in circles and then say it. We just spend a lot of time hurting each other because we're not willing to say, hey, I'm feeling this way or this has developed.
We'd rather the just role kinda, is more important.
That's true.
Than how you really feel.
That's true. But people don't feel like they can be honest, and that's the things like I chose you. Now I don't see anything
because of the role.
Feeling, you're right. Yeah. All right.
The role. Mm-hmm. I'm husband. I'm wife. I'm a robot.
I'm a minister.
I can't wait.
Go ahead on. What you got?
Maybe this is just the Sagittarius in me.
Oh, come on, Sag. Come on, Sagittarius.
I definitely think there's something to be said for making a commitment.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I understand that commitments are present in poly relationships. Mm-hmm. But, I definitely feel like sometimes we make the commitment, but we were not really
committed.
Come on, Sag.
You need a nap.
Come on, Sag.
We were
bring
not
it on home.
Really willing to fulfill the actual commitment.
That's real.
Yeah.
So that's just my chime in.
Come on, chime in too
on the subject.
What's that little thing where people are like chiming and hitting the buzzer? I just want to chime in
like
too.
A show.
Sometimes the commitment is to be committed.
Oh, Lord, we about to have a Saggy semantics battle.
As the Pisces, I'm going to get my straight jacket
right
now.
See, and just coil up, oh, baby.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
You work it out. You talk about it. You know what I mean? Very mm-hmm. much. You know, I've always envisioned, actually, low-key. Mm-hmm. Low key, have always sort of envisioned, I suppose, a relatively polyamorous life with mm-hmm. possibly a compound and a number of people who are there and share love. And there's some children and some chickens and
I've
some
heard
leafy
this
green
vision
things.
By so many people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I appreciate that creation. And my hope is that it actually happens. I think even when you talk about that and the power of being committed and I just think sometimes people feel like commitment has to be one person. And commitments can be with multiple people, with agreements that work for everybody. And being willing to say, okay, that doesn't work for you. What really works for me? Like, what actually can I give my word to?
Yeah.
And a lot of times we give our words to things that we can't because we want to keep somebody.
A role.
I think you hit the nail on the head, though, when you said, in reference to the commitment, it's like we don't commit to the person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking about like committing to the person. We commit to the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we find someone, we find people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not always one other person. We mm-hmm. have a multitude of relationships in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you engage in that relationship. You negotiate your terms, mm-hmm. what works for you, what doesn't work for you. And that's when the opportunity comes to be fully honest.
Yeah.
And after that, then you commit to whatever agreement you've come up with as a team.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people skip that part. I know I have skipped past that part so many times. I'm like, you cute, let's get married.
Like, yeah, I stopped doing
I
that a long time.
All
I get
the negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a thing.
Yeah, it really is a thing. I get way too annoyed to get carried away.
Yes, I'm right here just sobering. I'm not moving. I just said that. That's what I'm doing. That's how I am. I'm not moving. I'm sobering.
It's like you got to learn that lesson, you know? And when you learn that lesson, you learn that lesson. And I've found that it's a tough one to learn, but you have to be willing to talk all your stuff out. Otherwise, there's no commitment that's going
to
work.
Yeah. No matter what. I just want to let y'all know you're tuned into KPLO San Francisco, 89.5 FM. You're inside the Ebeji Lounge with Melanie and Malora Green. We're inside the It Cast Conversation with Nika Sherelle and Somalia and Malora and Melanie. We got about 3 more minutes.
No, we really have gone over. Our next guest is already here.
Wow, okay. On the air, huh? There we go. All right. Okay. I tried to make it cute, but since Malora blew it. Tell us what's up next for the It Cast Conversation.
Okay. So you can catch our Raw Talks coming up online. You can get access to those via our Patreon, Nika Sherelle's. And then also catch us next month, second Tuesday in September, with our conversation on polyamory, polygamy, and religion. We're bringing in a polyamory coach, Steve Yang, and a couple of other special guests.
Yes. Oh, I love Steve.
He's amazing. So please tune in. You can find out more about my work at NikaSherelles.com.
And spell that for the people.
NikaSherelles.com.
Yes,
NikaSherelles.com.
Wonderful. Thank you all so much for being with us.
And then if people want to know about the event coming up.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, absolutely. So please visit PedFestOakland.com. You can go there, check out the lineup, the venues, some of the vendors that we're adding. Also at Pedestal Festival on Instagram.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you both. We'll have y'all back here again. Stick with us inside the Ebeji Lounge with Melanie and Malora Green. Again, you're tuned into KPLO San Francisco, 89.5 FM.